goodness, that ministry to me. I appreciate that so much. You know, you've got a lot of talent here at the Harmony Missionary Baptist Church. A lot to be thankful for. And I just blessed my heart tonight. All the simple, old songs. That's the first time I heard that song in Settle Mine and Settle. Boy, what a powerful song. I'll knock it out of the park. Good to see you tonight. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. And we've got to have a good crowd this week. I'm just so thankful to be here. You know, tonight is our last night of our scheduled revival services. Let me put emphasis on that. Scheduled revival service. By the way, you really can't schedule a revival, can you? You really can't. But we can set aside a time where, you know, we pray and we worship and we expect and hope for God to do something in our life that only God can do. And that's to revive His people. And this week has just been a blessing to me. I want you to know that. It's just, I've enjoyed the fellowship. You just made me feel at home. And I just want you to know how thankful I am. I want to leave here tonight with more friends than I had than when I came. And I'm thankful for that. And it's just been a great week. Isn't it amazing how quick a week of services can go by? Though it really has. And I know you've been busy, and I know many of you have worked hard in the heat today, and all of that, and you're just so faithful to come back and, to the Lord's house. I'm thankful for that. But I hope that although tonight is the last night of our scheduled services, I hope that tonight is just the beginning of a true revival in our hearts and our lives. There's no reason why it shouldn't be and can't be in our life. So, how do you end a revival? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I have the answer to all that, but I had something planned, Brother Tim. I'll be honest with you. Before I came, and you know, preachers that just pour over their sermons, and you think this is the way God is leading, you pray, and sometimes God just kind of changes that in midstream. And I had something else to be honest with you that I was going to preach tonight. I was going to preach on the love of God, John 3:16, one of my favorite verses of Scripture in the Bible. But God led me a different direction these last couple of days, and I'm not sorry about it. I'm thankful. So if you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to follow me in the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Book of Genesis. I'm not going to have you turn very far or flip through a lot of pages tonight. Genesis, chapter 5. I want to speak to you specifically on the subject, walking with God. Walking with God. Because you see, our Christian life begins with a walk with God. And it proceeds with a walk with God. And if we think about revival, the Lord reviving our heart, it's all about our walk with the Lord and just how crucial that is in our life. I know as you get into the fifth chapter of Genesis, there's a long genealogy here, and sometimes as you're reading through a lot of this, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's not the most exciting reading. So-and-so begets so-and-so begets so-and-so begets so-and-so, and after a while you just want to skip through some of that and get to the good stuff, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's good stuff that you're looking at. Now, right here in the midst of this, I want you to look at verse 21 of Genesis chapter 5. It says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him." An influence is something that you and I, all of us, possess. Everybody here tonight, young, old, doesn't matter. Everyone here tonight possesses an influence in their life. We possess this influence, and it's something that you and I will leave behind. Right? Good or bad, right or wrong, you will leave an influence behind, because our influence never dies. What kind of influence tonight are we leaving? Think about that question for just a moment. Is it a godly influence on our families and on our world, or is it a negative, ungodly influence? And while you're thinking about that, let me ask you this question. When it comes to our influence in our life, is there any room for improvement? I think every hand could go up, right? I want to tell you tonight, I have not arrived yet. I have not reached that you know, that point of perfection in my life, and I won't here, but still, I'm sure there's room for improvement for all of us. But I believe by studying the life of Enoch, we can see how to become a godly influence in such an ungodly world. Because you see, that's exactly where Enoch was in life. A lot of times we look at these biblical characters, we read these stories, and we see the miraculous things that God did in their life, and somehow, you know, we look back and we think, well, I know it worked out for them, but what about me? Let's make it practical, right? I mean, we read these stories how God did all these wonderful things with His people, and somehow, some way, many times we think we put them on a pedestal and we say, well, these were super giants of the faith. These were people that had it all together, you know, and God worked for them. Folks, I want to tell you something. These were people just like you and me. They didn't have it all together. But one thing they had was a tremendous faith and an awesome God. And God was able to do wonderful things in and through their life. You see, Enoch lived in a very ungodly world. How would you classify our world tonight? Very ungodly. Can I tell you, in Enoch's day, it was worse. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make that statement tonight. Because we say, oh, Brother Brian, there's just no way it can get any worse. Friend, I'm going to tell you, it can get a lot worse. It can get a lot worse. He lived in a pleasure-oriented, pleasure-seeking, self-gratifying generation. And we can compare that to our generation tonight. He lived during a time where there was no thought whatsoever of the coming judgment of God. No. The godly marrying the ungodly. And the result was the destruction of the home. We can relate to that, can't we? We've seen that in our country, and that's what's happening now. And we're just living with the results of the breakdown of the family. And Enoch lived during this time as well. These times were so evil that Enoch went against the grain and he preached against the grain. I want to show you how evil this generation was that Enoch lived in. Now, if you remember, all you got to do is go to the next chapter. Genesis chapter 6 through 9 reports for us, y'all, what we call the flood. God destroyed it. Judgment was on the horizon right here in chapter 5. Look at chapter 6, verse 5. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now listen, watch how great it was. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's how God describes this generation. And we think about that and we say, oh my goodness, well, what an evil generation. And he goes on and says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But bless your heart, the next verse says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, always in a wicked and an evil generation, God's always had that remnant, Brother Tim. Those people that regardless of what the situation is and how far south the world is going, they still got a great faith in a great God. Enoch lived in an ungodly world. Listen to me. He lived in an ungodly world, but yet the Bible says he walked with God. Is that possible? Absolutely. Not only is it possible, it's probable. It's something that can be done. You know, when we talk about our world, we say, oh, it's just getting worse. No, it is, y'all. It is. And none of us would review that at all. But can I tell you, regardless how far it goes south, you can still walk with God. You can walk with God, and God expects you to walk with Him. Now, the question tonight is this. What does it mean to walk? You're going to find this phrase two times in our text tonight. That's why I read there in chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, because twice it says, and Enoch walked with God. That's a very important phrase. In fact, it means a lot of things. When you break it down, it really means a lot of things. Well, if you're going to walk with God, there are several things you need to know and several things that you need to apply to your life. First of all, if you're going to walk with God, it just makes sense. If you're going to walk with God, then you've got to go in God's direction. Would you agree? Does that make sense? I mean, if God's going this way and I'm going this way, I'm not walking with God. Right? We're in separate directions. But if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to go in God's direction. And we must realize that God's direction is up. Man's direction is down. Okay? Now, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, think about it. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a truth about every human being. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man's direction is down. God's direction is up. And if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to go in God's direction. In order to walk in God's direction, what does that mean? That means you're going to have to turn around and you're going to have to repent. In order to go in the direction that God wants you to go, there must be repentance in your life. You see, walking in God's direction literally means a conversion experience. You cannot walk with God unless you've got a relationship with God. Okay? That's what I'm trying to say. You've got to go in God's direction. Enoch was born into sin like all of us, y'all. He was born into sin like the rest of us. And from all indications, he had been living a sinful, wicked life. Enoch had. But something happened in Enoch's life that caused him to repent and go in God's direction. By the way, did you catch it in verse 22? Read it again. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God after he had a child. After he begat Methuselah. You see, after the birth of his son, he turned his life over to God. And he began to go in God's direction. That's a powerful thing. After that baby was born, it changed Enoch's life. That child changed his life, changed his direction, changed his perception in life. Sometimes God puts a baby in a family just for that purpose. That's true, y'all. I remember, I was just thinking about this today. I was real young when I got married, okay? 5 days after I turned 19, I got married. And the next year, we had our first child. So I was 20 years old. Y'all, I was a punk. I didn't know nothing about nothing. I thought I did. You know what I mean? But I learned quickly I didn't. And, you know, I was one of those, listen, teenagers, every adult here can relate to exactly where you are in life, right? And I know what you're thinking. They're here to, you know, they're just bringing me down. They don't understand. They're not in all of it. Listen, let me tell you something. They don't know how to do technology and all. Listen, can I tell you something? Don't you get on them for that. They taught you how to eat with a spoon and a fork. You hear me? And you're talking about a literal mess. That was a mess. I remember all that time. I remember the hospital there when my first child was born. Y'all, I've never been around a baby. I was the youngest in the family. Okay? I've never been around children or babies especially. And I remember when they wrapped my daughter up and they put my daughter in my hands. I'm a 20-year-old guy. I had no clue what to do. And then I was sitting there holding that baby. I didn't even know how to hold it. A woman had to show me how to hold it. And I'm sitting there holding my baby, and I'm looking at her, and all of a sudden she just smiles. And you're talking about melting the heart. But I'll tell you what also come across me like I've never felt in my life. And that was a sense of responsibility like I've never felt in my life. And I thought, here's this innocent baby who is totally dependent on me. I've got to take care of this child. Right? It's my responsibility. Y'all, I'll tell you something. When children come, it can change your perception. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. attention. And I just want to say this tonight. I believe the greatest thing that a child can say is that they have parents who walk with God. I want to challenge you tonight, parents. You need to be a parent that will walk with God. The greatest thing your child needs is not your money. It's your influence. And that influence being a godly influence. And sometimes we just get discouraged in that. We think, well, they're not getting it. And hey, just keep going. Don't quit. Show them what a godly influence is in an ungodly world. So I want to tell you something. If you don't show them what a godly influence will, Satan's crowd will show them what an ungodly influence is. Right? Enoch walked with God. Well, what was Satan? He walked with God. You got to turn around. You got to go in God's direction. The Bible says you must be born again. If you're going to go in God's direction, you've got to have a relationship with God, right? And a lot of people today think they do. They think they have a relationship with God. Well, I'm a pretty good person, and you know, I'm not a bad, I'm not an evil person. I haven't murdered somebody. I'm as good as that guy and all that. Listen, God doesn't compare you to anybody. It's not about goodness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's all about realizing you're a sinner. Okay? And realizing what Christ has done for you. He died on the cross for your sin. And then repenting of that sin and trusting Him as your Savior. That's how you begin that walk with God. That's so precious in your life. Well, if you're going to walk with God, then you've got to go in God's direction, right? Well, secondly, I want you to see not only must you go in God's direction, but you, according to the Bible, you must also walk by faith. If you're going to walk with God, it is going to be a walk by faith. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Brian? Hold your finger here and turn back. We mentioned this the other night. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. What is this? This is the faith chapter of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. It tells us about all these great men and women of God who did great things in their life through faith. Okay? And it mentions all these names and many others that are not named specifically. But notice here in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. We'll talk about that in a minute. And was not found. Because God had translated him. But listen carefully to this. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's Enoch. Now listen to me. He walked with God in an ungodly world. But not only did he walk with God, the Bible says he pleased God. Is it possible to please God? You better believe it. But you got to be going in His direction. You got to be walking with God, right? Not ahead of God, not on the side of God, but with God, shoulder to shoulder. And in that process, living your life by faith, that is pleasing unto the Lord. Because look what it says in the next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, right? So if you're going to walk with God, it is a walk by faith. And it's very critical that we understand that. Enoch pleased God. Why? Because he walked by faith. That's why he pleased God. Enoch didn't have all the answers. Enoch couldn't look around the corners and see what was coming next. He didn't know about tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. He didn't understand all of that. He didn't have to. Why? Because he knew God did. And so he just simply walked by faith. He just believed God. That's what he did. Whatever God said, he believed it. And he applied it to his life. Without faith, you cannot please God. The Bible tells us, you say, well, what does that mean, walking by faith? It means exactly what it says. Walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, walk by faith and not by sight. Right? That's how the Bible says the just shall live by faith. That's how you live your life. Is by faith in the Word of God. Do you have that kind of faith tonight? Where you just trust God in everything? I'll tell you what, friend, if you'll walk by faith, it will save you a lot of anxiety and worry in your life. Did you know that? It will. There may be some here tonight, just flat. flustered and frustrated and worried, and I'm just worried. By the way, do we have any worry warts here tonight? Hey, be honest. God knows your heart anyway. Amen. Absolutely. Oh, Brother Brian, I'm just so worried about it. Why? When the Bible specifically tells you not to. Huh? I mean, really? Paul said that in the book of Philippians, right? About worry and anxiety in life. You know what the Bible says? Don't. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. Right? And so that's what we need to do. We need to pray. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, he says, shall keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Y'all, listen, when we live a life of faith, that doesn't mean that we don't have concern in our life or nothing like that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that we're not always flustered, even when we don't have the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. Listen, friend, God's got all the answers. Amen? And my faith is in him. That's what Enoch did. He just simply walked by faith. He trusted God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, it gives you a definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow. You want a definition of faith? There it is. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Wow. Now, what is substance? Substance is that which stands under my hope. Okay? Like submarine, that which goes under. Substance. Faith is substance. Listen, our faith in the Lord is what stands under us and holds us up in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the storm, whatever it may be. That word actually comes from the word that deals with the pillars and the columns of a building. How it just supports the building. That's what he's saying. Faith is substance, but he also says faith is evidence. What is evidence? Proof. If someone tells you in life, well, all you have is faith, can I tell you what to tell them? According to the Bible, that's all I need. Faith is not wishful thinking. It's not a leap in the dark. But faith is substance. And God says, you can't be pleasing to me unless you have faith in me. Y'all, that's why we need to get in this book and let this book get into us. And the promises of God that are mentioned all throughout here, we need to claim that by faith. And live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Walk with God. That's how you walk with God. You just trust him. Basically, faith, if you just boil it down, it is confidence that someone or something is reliable. Right? I know God is reliable. I know many times I'm not. But I know God is. And walking by faith means you walk forward in God's direction with total confidence in him. That's walking by faith. You don't have to see around the curves in the road because he already knows. He knows your path. Now, and he directs you. Right? It's kind of like, have you ever watched a parade on top of a tall building? It's kind of interesting. When you're on top of the tall building, you see that parade. You see the path of that parade. You can see the beginning. You see the end. You can see all the different routes that they take in the parade. When you're high and lifted up, you can see it all. But when you're down there marching in the parade, do you know the only thing you see? It's what's right in front of you. Y'all, that's us. That's all we see. I mean, we're in the parade, right? We're marching. We don't know. All I can see is this, and that's why we worry, and that's why we have all. Listen, friend, your God is high and lifted up. He's above every circumstance in your life. The Bible says that heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. Listen to me. When it's over your head, it's still under God's feet. Somebody else say amen. When it's over your head, it's still under his feet. Y'all, and because of that, I can trust him. Even when I don't know. That's what Enoch did. He just trusted God. He walked by faith. Enoch walked by faith. You see, walk by faith in God's direction, and you'll please God. That's what it means to please God. Also, walking by faith means to share his companionship. If you're going to walk with God, you're sharing
His companionship. That's an awesome thing. You go back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Watch this, 300 years. He walked with God for 300 years. Look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. He just kept walking with God. That word walk is a biblical expression for fellowship and obedience. Okay? That's what walking with God is. It's a fellowship with God. It's an obedience to God. Walking with God means unbroken communion and fellowship with God. Now, here's something interesting. Look back at verse 21. It says, and Enoch lived. Now, look at verse 24. And Enoch walked. I like that. Enoch lived, and he walked. That's when you begin to live, is when you start walking with God. That's when you begin to really live. You see, there's a lot of people in our world tonight, they're really not living, they're existing. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. How many Christians tonight do you really know who are living the joy-filled, victorious Christian life? Not many. And y'all, we have victory already. But many times the world doesn't see it. Why? Because of all the issues. But listen, you don't have to worry about all the issues in life. Leave that to God. Leave that to God. That's why the song says, you know, you walk with him and you talk with him along life's narrow. What is he talking about? Walking with God. Fellowshipping with God. Having communion with God. Enoch was a walker and a talker with God. What privilege. Do you know that's the same privilege we you and I have tonight? We can walk with God. We can talk with God. Have you talked with God today? Really now. Are you walking with him? Because I'm going to tell you, if you're walking with him, you need to be talking to him, right? You should be. You should. Hey, there's times, my wife tells me, she said, you got the strangest study habits of any person I've ever met. And I said, you're right. Because I study out loud. What I mean by that, not every word, but I mean, I'm one of those, I'm very visual, but yet I need to hear it. And when I'm reading, I like to hear the words and read the words at the same time. If I'm driving, I know I can't close my eyes and pray. Please don't do that while you're driving. But what I'm saying, but if I can hear it from the radio, from the stick, you see what I mean? And try to repeat it, try to memorize it, try to put it to your heart. I study out loud, and y'all, sometimes I get happy. I say, oh, you're a Baptist, you can't say that. Let me say something. This is my last night anyway. What do evangelists do, Brother Tim? They come in stirred up. I'll pray for your pastor for the next week or two. Y'all listen to me. Baptists have allowed the charismatics to scare them to death. Don't you let nobody rob you of your joy. You hear me? A lot of times we're so, well, we can't do that, or we'll be classed about this. We can't do this, or we'll be classed. Get happy in Jesus. Walk with him. Talk with him. Get in his word. You see, I talk to God in prayer. He talks to me through his word. Right? And many times we're sitting there, oh, I wonder what God thinks. I need to hear something from you. And there's your Bible. It's just sitting there on the shelf collecting dust. I saw something, a picture on Facebook one day. And there was this guy, just a picture of a guy said, Lord, please talk to me. And the next frame was the hand of God coming through the cloud of the Bible. You know what I mean? There it is, y'all. We have his complete word. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. A long, nice, narrow way. Somebody ought to write a song about that. Amen. You got to share his companionship. God wants you to share the companionship. You say, well, I'm busy. Enoch was busy. Enoch was busy too. He had a family to take care of. Right? We give all these excuses why we can't grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Why we can't come to a certain meeting. Y'all listen, church is just like anything else. If it's a priority to you, you'll be there.
Plain and simple. Anyway, we got to move on before we get shot, okay? What I'm saying is, you've got to share. Y'all, that's some of the sweetest fellowship in the world is when you have fellowship with God. Jesus said, go into your closet, shut the door, right? Your prayer closet. And pray to the Father in secret. The Father in secret shall reward thee openly. That's what Jesus said. I mean, just have communication. Just share your heart with Him. He's a loving God. He's already got the answers to your problem. He's already got it. My goodness, why would I not take advantage of that? Well, to walk with God, you've got to be going in God's direction, right? Another thing, to walk with God means not only to go in God's direction, but it also means to be in agreement with God. If you're going to walk with God, you need to be in agreement with God. Say, why is that? Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? Right? There's got to be an agreement between me and God. You can't walk with God when His Word says this and you're doing something else. That's not walking with God. When I walk with God, I'm in complete agreement with what His Word is saying. What it means. Y'all, we've got to get back to the book. We just got to get back to the book. But then lastly, I want you to see to walk with God simply means to arrive at God's destination. When you walk with God, you will eventually arrive at God's destination. Now look at verse 24 of our text. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Wow. Did you see that? Enoch, just walking with God, and one day God just translated him, but he didn't see death. That's interesting. It says it over in Hebrews chapter 11, too, that he was translated, right? For he had this testimony that he pleased God, and God just took him home. Just took him home. It says he was not. That means he was seen no more. He vanished. He was translated, right? God carried him over. God carried him over. Enoch is an Old Testament example of what God will do with us one day. Friend, one day he's just going to carry you home. He's going to carry you over. Now, I don't have a choice in that, neither do you, as far as how we go. As one preacher said, you're either going to go the clod way or the cloud way. Amen? One of those two. I don't know. If I had my choice, I think I'd probably want to choose. I'd be here when the Lord just raptures His people. Translated. That's what He's talking about here. He translated Enoch. Just took him home. Just took him home. Christ just carried him over. I heard an illustration one time about a little girl. They were studying this in Sunday school. And then when they got home, her parents asked her, said, explain to us that story about Enoch that you learned in Sunday school. Now, I want you to listen to me. This is from a 9-year-old girl. And this is what she said. Now, understand, this is from a 9-year-old. Okay? But listen to this. She said, every day God would come by Enoch's house, okay, and say, Enoch, would you like to go walk with me? Enoch would come out of the house. He'd go down to the gate, down the road with God. And he enjoyed this so much that he waited at the gate every day. God would come by and say, Enoch, would you like to walk with me? And Enoch said, yes. And they would walk. Go for a walk. And then one day God came by and said, Enoch, let's go for a long walk. I got much to tell you. Finally, it was getting late in the evening. And Enoch said, well, God, I better get back home. It's getting late. And God said, Enoch, you're closer to my home than you are your home. Why don't you just come home with me? So God took him home. Now, that's from a 9-year-old. But y'all, I'm going to tell you, there's some truth there. There's some truth there. One day, bless your heart, one day, God is going to take you home. And my friend, there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more trouble. You're talking about a reunion. You're talking about fellowship with lost loved ones, with the Lord. Oh my goodness, we
we think about that, just how grand heaven is going to be. And y'all, I really believe that that time is coming probably a lot sooner than what we realize tonight. Are you ready to go home to be with the Lord? The God's people say, amen for that. Okay, but in the meantime, what do we do? You just walk with God. You just walk with God. I want to tell you this story, if I can leave you with anything about revival. You say, well, how do we keep the revival spirit going? You know, after tonight, what do we do to keep the flames of revival going at Harmony Missionary Baptist Church? Can I tell you how? Walk with God. Just walk with Him. Fellowship with Him. Right? Go in His direction. Repent. Turn around. Follow Him. Walk with Him. Agree with Him in life. And allow Him to teach you and to guide you and to show you what to do every single day. The psalmist said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? Both of those have to do with walking. He is a lamp unto my feet. He is a light unto my path. And you'll find it right here. His will for your life. Friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as Savior, His will for you is that you be saved. He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved, and He wants you to be serving, and He wants you to walk with Him. Walk with. That's how you maintain the revival spirit. It's just simply walk with God by faith. By faith. Let's stand together. As our musicians come, as we prepare for an invitation, and you know that's what invitation.